supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Of the remaining cohort of Earthlings privileged to set foot on the moon, let's extend birthday greetings this week to Buzz Aldrin. Joining me to extend salutations is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, Buzz is one of a mere 12 astronauts to make that claim as part of the acclaimed Apollo program.
Yes, that's true. Having been the second person to stand on the surface of the moon, he really does hold quite a position of significance in space exploration history. He is one of the few that's still around of those that have walked on the moon. That group is dwindling. Last week, John Young, who also had visited the moon, passed at the age of 87. Buzz, having been born in 1930 at 88 years old, is still on the circuit, if you will, telling people about his exploits on the moon and is one of the strongest advocates for the human exploration of Mars that you'll find anywhere around. He's figured out a particular method that will allow for faster trips to Mars, and it comes as a result of his sort of moniker from his days as an astronaut, in which he was called Dr. Rendezvous. Part of the reason why he was selected for the mission to go to the moon on that first trip around is that he could do the mathematics required for the docking of the various spacecraft. He could do it in his head almost. And so he was very well known for that, and that contributes today to his ideas of human exploration of Mars.
Let's also note that he was among a small cohort to actually view the dark side of the moon.
Oh, yes, indeed. They would orbit the moon several times before the landing craft actually set down on the surface of the moon. And then after it came back up, it would reconnect with the command and service module that would be used to blast everybody back to the moon. So they could see the dark side of the moon, although there might be some question about our ability to see the dark side of the moon from the surface of the Earth. This week actually is a great opportunity to begin a full lunation observation, an instance in which one might watch all of the phases of the moon from beginning to end, and new moon beginning tomorrow.
So let's go lunationing. How do we start?
Well, the way we start is like this. We begin with the first phases of the moon cycle, which begin tomorrow night. That'll be new moon. And every day we can watch the moon grow from a tiny crescent up to first quarter in this next week to come. And here's some things to look for. Well, first of all, you should look at the same time every day. If you do that, you'll be able to note how the position in the sky changes from day to day and how much of the moon is visible through those changes. So you'll be actually seeing the moon's orbital motion as it goes around the Earth. We can also look for how much of the non-illuminated region of the moon you can see. By this, what I mean is, as we look up at the moon in these early phases from new moon, in which the moon is in the same position in the sky as the sun during the day, not exactly, slightly above or slightly below, we can't see any of the illuminated face of the moon because it's actually facing the sun. But with just a few days, we'll begin to see a thin crescent as the moon makes its orbit around the Earth, and we'll see that thin illuminated crescent. But then there's the rest of the moon on our side that we can just barely see, and that's what I'm referring to as the non-illuminated side. How much of that can we see as we watch the thin crescent moon grow over the next week?
And there's more regarding the moon. Just a couple of months after NASA pulled up the tent stakes on the Apollo program, the Soviet Union went to the moon, though unmanned.
The Russians sent Luna 21 and Lunokhod 2. Luna 21 was the launch vehicle that carried to the moon Lunokhod 2, which was a rover that moved around on the surface for the next 3 months. Interestingly, this object was 5 foot by 5 foot by 5 foot and weighed about 1,800 pounds. So this is a serious size rover. It had enough to sustain itself on the moon for 3 months, until it tipped over into a crater, and that caused its demise.
Is it gathering dust, rust, or something different?
Well, it is gathering dust, which was the major problem. Once it tipped over in the crater, it got dust on its solar panels and some of its antennas, and that made it impossible for them to keep control of the temperature, although they tried to do what they could to resurrect it. However, it's still in that same place on the moon, and it was actually purchased at a Sotheby's auction in 1993 by a gentleman named Richard Garriott, who was a video game designer and a space tourist on his own, visiting the International Space Station under the Russian program to visit space station. But he actually turns out to be the son of Owen Garriott, the astronaut from Skylab and early space shuttle days. And they're the only father and son team to have traveled in space independently. But Richard Garriott bought those two, Luna 21 and Lunokhod 2, for $68,500. He's the only individual to actually own a piece of space hardware that sits on another celestial body.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.